Pink wheels and wooden dreams. Pink wheels and wooden dreams. The flats were gone. The catering trailer was gone. I was back in the cafe, focused on what I knew best, sales, customer service, and keeping the community spirit alive. Home life had settled into something comfortable. Diane was content. She'd even loved playing nurse one bonfire night, tending to minor injuries in our makeshift ambulance, a tram-like trailer we'd set up on Blackheath. She was good at it, too. Years spent caring for her son, along with her own health challenges, had made her a kind of self-taught nurse. During one of our early breakups, she'd found a surprising joy in working as a carer. That experience planted a seed. She realized she didn't just want to play nurse, she wanted to become one. The only hitch, she'd left school with no O levels. But Diane wasn't one to back down from a challenge. In just 2 years, she fast-tracked through the necessary qualifications and earned her place at Greenwich University to study nursing. She took to it naturally. Assignments that others sweated over, she breezed through. After a year of study, she was placed at Lewisham Hospital for hands-on experience. She was turning 40 that May, 21st May 2007, and I wanted to mark the milestone with something special. I remembered that just before we got married in 2004, she'd earned her motorbike license. But 3 years had passed, and she'd never ridden a bike since. That's when I had the idea. I'd surprise her with her own scooter, a birthday gift that was practical, empowering, and a little bit cheeky. I found a beautiful pink scooter online, complete with a matching pink helmet. To keep the surprise, I had it delivered to Joan, a friend Diane had met while working at Cedar Court Care Home in Grove Park. Joan lived just half a mile away in Harland Road and was more than happy to help. She was also excellent at keeping secrets. When the crate arrived, it became a mini project. The night before Diane's birthday, Joan's son Kirk and I assembled the scooter piece by piece. It took hours, but we got there. That night, under cover of darkness, Kirk and I wheeled the completed bike over to our place. I had Ben erect a small gazebo in the back garden to hide it until the big reveal. The next day, Caitlin kept Diane out and busy while I prepped for the party. Sandwiches, canapes, snacks, and plenty of alcohol. Friends and family poured in, and when Diane finally walked into the garden and saw the pink scooter under the gazebo, her face was priceless. At first, she looked stunned. Then she laughed and asked if I was trying to kill her. I knew she was nervous, but deep down, she was thrilled. The scooter, I thought, would be perfect for her commute to Lewisham Hospital. No gears, just a simple twist of the throttle, and off she'd go. And with a 125cc engine, it purred softly like a contented cat. But despite her excitement, the scooter didn't get much use. Most of the time, it sat under its cover on the forecourt, waiting patiently. My intentions had been good. Years earlier, during a personal challenge she gave ourselves, do something you've always wanted to do, spend as little as possible, and explain why. She had learned to ride a motorbike for free and won the task. I genuinely thought she'd love having one of her own. Her nursing work continued to go well, though it was taking its toll. The long hours, physical demands, and emotional strain began to wear her down. That winter, Diane's health suddenly declined. She became bedridden and suffered terrifying hallucinations. Despite her natural talent, it was clear. Her body just couldn't keep up with the demands of full-time nursing. She had to stop. Meanwhile, I continued exploring new business opportunities through the cafe. I regularly attended food and retail exhibitions at Excel, Olympia, and even the NEC in Birmingham. It was at the NEC that I stumbled upon something unexpected, a German wooden toy exhibition by Legler. The toys reminded me of the kind Sally and I used to buy for the boys, beautiful, tactile, and educational. These were better, though. The range was vast. Sensory tools, occupational therapy sets, wooden puzzles, 3D toys. I brought home some samples and a catalog for Diane to see. She loved them. Fresh from recovery, her eyes lit up as she handled the toys. She appreciated the quality, and even more the price point. That's when I offered to help her start her own business. She named it Wooden Toys, and we launched the website, www.woodentoys.org.uk. I threw myself into helping set it up. Building an online store, and even designing a hardback catalog that customers could leaf through at their leisure. At the cafe, we cleared away the deli products, which had never really taken off, and made room for something fresh. In their place appeared Diane's toy line. Brightly painted puzzles, clever educational games, sturdy wooden balance bikes, and sensory toys that seemed to invite curious little hands. The whole space shifted. Lighter, more colorful, full of energy and possibility. The cafe transformed into part cafe, part toy showroom. It was a new chapter, one built on Diane's vision and resilience. She would branch out into markets, with help from her mum and me. We applied for a market stall at Bromley High Street. It wasn't long before Diane acquired regular customers, but the downside was the weather and the daily setup and takedown. After discussions, we looked into the possibility of getting an RMU, retail merchandising unit, inside the Glades Shopping Center in Bromley. I approached Retail Profile, the managing agent, and presented our products to Heinz Kloihofer. He loved them. We were offered a spot on the first floor, right outside Marks & Spencer. Diane's display was stunning. The RMU meant no more daily setups. She could leave stock on site overnight and simply restock as needed. Caitlin and Josh helped with sales. Diane converted the large loft at Chinbrook Road into her toy warehouse. Online orders were busy, the RMU was thriving, and toys were selling at the cafe too. Before long, she secured another pitch at Blue Water with Lendlease. James Waugh, their retail manager, even played me at squash. Her displays were so well done they practically sold themselves. Lendlease invited us to join their Christmas market, which included an ice rink, food vans, and artisan stalls. Diane's toys were a perfect fit. We needed a cash injection to prepare for the event. Steve, an old friend, offered to come on board, as did Don, our park ranger from Manor House Gardens. They each contributed modestly. The season went well, but Steve wasn't reliable. He roamed the market rather than managing his stall. Don also had to bow out. Diane bought back their shares, and we went it alone. Steve, despite his short-lived role in the Christmas market, was never one for conventional work. He'd always been more interested in the curious, the flashy, and the unconventional. So it didn't surprise me when he turned up one day saying he'd bought a business called Elstree Studio Props. But this wasn't just a backlot clearance sale. He had bought the whole operation. Props, costumes, and all. The business came with its own studio and office inside Elstree Studios itself, directly opposite the Big Brother house. It was a strange kind of dream gig for Steve, who had always preferred socializing to grafting. The place was dripping with cinematic history. There were original Star Wars costumes, shelves of vintage props, and even set pieces from iconic films. Steve fit right in, not because he was a film buff, but because he loved the buzz. He spent most of his time in the studio coffee bar, brushing shoulders with the likes of Davina McCall, Bob Hoskins, and even Nicolas Cage on one occasion. Steve being Steve, he always had a story to tell afterwards. He'd never really liked working. For years, his mum and dad had taken care of him, and now it was his new wife who carried the financial load with her good job. That meant Steve could float through life with a kind of effortless ease, bouncing between interests without ever needing to commit to any of them. He loved gadgets, anything with blinking lights or hidden functions, and was never happier than when showing off a new magic trick to friends. He'd pull a coin from behind your ear or make a card vanish, delighting in your surprise like a schoolboy. That was Steve in a nutshell. Unpredictable, a bit spoiled, but always entertaining. We did the Christmas fair 2 years in a row. Diane's toys were in constant demand. Unbeknownst to us, Pistachios in the Park had been nominated for a Scepter Award, with the ceremony taking place in the elegant banqueting hall of the Lancaster Hotel. Because Wooden Toys was still so new and had no credit history, we entered everything under the name of Pistachios in the Park. When Diane's name was announced as the winner, it was a bittersweet moment. Her incredible work had been recognized, but the credit had to go to the Pistachios in the Park. Still, it didn't dull the pride we all felt. Caitlin and Ben, beaming with excitement, took to the stage and accepted the award on her behalf. It was a moment that belonged to her, and we all knew it. It was a champagne-soaked evening, where Diane was named runner-up for Best RMU Setup. She received a plaque and interest from 22 shopping centers across the UK. Around the same time, our cafe Pistachios in the Park was gaining attention. Other councils were curious about how we'd turned a small park cafe into a community hub. Greenwich Council approached me about East Greenwich Pleasance. Herringy Council reached out about Markfield Park. Reigate and Banstead showed interest in renovating Lady Neville Pavilion. It was overwhelming. Years ago, I tried managing 12 sites in Lewisham and failed. I didn't want to repeat that. Playing squash weekly with Adrian Wickham from Glendale, I shared my dilemma. Adrian, a sharp business mind, suggested franchising. I didn't know the first thing about it. I visited a business expo at Excel and met Clive Sawyer from Business Options. He explained the process and the cost. About £20,000 for a full franchise model if our concept passed feasibility. I ran the idea by Adrian. He agreed to go 50-50. The feasibility study passed. Clive said our concept was unique and replicable. While Diane's Toys had caught national interest, the rents and rates for malls were too steep. Park cafes were affordable and rate exempt. It was a no-brainer to include the toys in our franchise. Pistachios in the Park launched in 2008. Our first franchise was at East Greenwich Pleasance, run by Elizabeth Cooper, an early employee from our Greenwich Cafe. She renewed her 10-year lease for another 13 years before selling the business. Today it still trades, operating as Pistachios in the Park, with Deborah and Gary now at the helm. Elizabeth and I have remained close friends over the years. And so, from a pink scooter parked in our front garden to a national franchise in parks across the country, from handcrafted toys in a cafe window to awards at the Lancaster Hotel, Diane's spark and spirit helped build something real and lasting. One wooden toy, one cafe, one community at the Stepter Awards.